I've preached on Psalm 13 on numerous occasions. It's a lament. It's a complaint. It's an honest word of the psalmist. The psalmist said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long, O God, must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love." How long? How long? But I trust. Shall we pray? Oh God, our hearts have been so heavy this week. We don't even know how to pray. We don't know what to think. We don't know what to believe. Like the psalmist, we simply call out, "Oh God, how long?" But we know you are still God, and we know you walk with us. And so we call out today, God. God, hear our prayer. God, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Mercy. I pray today, God, for families planning. Families planning funeral services on this weekend. For grandparents and parents, siblings and aunts and uncles. God, hear our prayer. Pray for precious children who saw and heard things this week in Uvalde in their hallway that they should never have to hear. We pray, God, for teachers this week and administrators who had to do more than any teacher should ever be asked to. God, I pray for priests and pastors in Uvalde who are struggling far deeper than I to figure out what words to say this week. God, we pray for an entire community that needs to be wrapped in your arms. God, I do pray for leaders who we've elected to give us direction. God, give them your sense of mind. Let them know. Let them be directed in whatever that means, that your will might be done. God, we pray for our nation. We pray that division and partisan politics would somehow give way to some common sense and some sense of compromise, that we're not always right, regardless of which side we're on. And God, we pray for all teachers this summer as they take a break and as they prepare to go back to their classroom, that you might give them a sense of your presence. We pray for all parents that they might have wisdom to love their children and speak truth to their children. And God, we thank you that we can come to you. We as a faith community can unapologetically come to you with our prayers, our questions, our wondering, our hurts, our heartaches, our pain, our silence. I thank you that Jesus said, "Let those children come to me." That this week some came way too early. God, we need you. We need you. Every hour, every day, Lord, we need you. That's our prayer. Maybe it's the only words we have today. Is, oh, how we need you. Our families, our churches, we need each other. Our nation, our schools, we need you. And even this very moment, we need you. We need you. We need you. Tomorrow, across our nation, Memorial Day will be observed. I always am afraid that through the years, much of that meaning has been lost. Memorial Day becomes more about barbecue and boat rides and a trip to the beach and the beginning of summer. But you know how it began, what it really means. Originally known as Decoration Day, women, primarily from the South, in the very midst of the Civil War, pulled together and began to decorate the graves of their husbands and their sons who died in the midst of that terrible war. It was happening, and they were meeting to decorate the graves. It's very interesting that they decorated not only the graves of the Confederate soldiers, but also those from the North. It was the spring and summer of the year, and so several years went by until May of 1868, when General John Logan said, "This day should be a memorial day to not only those who died in the Civil War, but the War of 1812 and even the Revolution War." It wasn't until 1971 that Congress proclaimed Memorial Day as an official holiday, the last Monday of the month of May. Prior to that, different states had different days and different times. Just this week, significant that at Arlington National Cemetery, over 250,000 flags were placed on those graves. And here in Angelina County, scout groups and VFW and American Legion members have also decorated with the symbol of the flag on many graves. For Americans, this weekend is a time to remember. A time to remember brave men and brave women who gave their life the ultimate sacrifice. A day of remembrance. But in the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we too have a memorial moment, a memorial day, really each time we gather to celebrate around this table, to memorialize and to remember the Lord's Supper, to share communion. We often call it a memorial meal. We remember. We use symbols of this meal, not the symbol of the flag, but, you know, the symbol, the bread. We're mindful of the words of Scripture. "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. chastised for our peace, we remember. As we eat the bread this morning, we remember that by His stripes we are healed. This morning, as you touch the bread, feel it, smell it, taste it, and remember. Also, the cup. The cup reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there would be no forgiveness of our sin. We remember. As we take the cup, it reminds us that everlasting, eternal life is only possible for us because of the atoning death of God's perfect Lamb, that perfect sacrifice. We remember. The cup reminds us that we deserve separation from God because we have walked away from God because of our sin. Our sin breaks our relationship, but Jesus took our place and stands in that gap. We remember. This do in remembrance of me as you take the cup, hold the cup, smell the juice, taste, and remember. Yes, each time we gather around this table, it's our memorial day, a significant time to remember. Tomorrow, Memorial Day, remember our nation's fallen soldiers. Today, remember your Savior. So we prepare our hearts. Let me read from 1 Corinthians. You see, Paul remembered. He remembered, I guess, the first time he shared communion with that early church. And he wanted those in Corinth to remember. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, church. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever and as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone then ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup."